tastes like, remember those little wax things you used to get in the store that had those drinks in it? My communion today tasted like that. I'm like, whoa, I went back to my past, and like wax drinks, you know, where you get like six little bottles and then, anyway. But it was still, thank you, Mike, and that was a good reminder of what we're doing here and why we're must have faith, hope, and love. Well, let's pray and get right into it. Jesus, we thank you that we can gather together and that we have the privilege of doing this, that we can lift up your name, we can take communion, we can give your tithes and our offerings, and right now then we can just see what the word says to us today. God, may your Holy Spirit just really do a work on us and through us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Want to brag on you a little bit real quick before I get into my lesson. I forgot this. The CareNet, who is the, they help mothers who want to keep their children. The office is right down the road down here. We did the baby bottle thing. Their goal in doing that this year with 38 churches was $35,000. They ended up with $68,000 this year. And yeah, go ahead. And you were able to give about $1,300 of that. It ended up, there's still more money coming in on that. And so they're going to be able to buy a machine to help mamas see how their baby's doing and stuff like that. So it's really neat, and really appreciate your giving that. So thank you for your pennies and dimes and dollars that you gave. That was a blessing to them, and they wanted me to pass that on to you. Well, our lesson series that we've been talking about is going along the line of the two words, I am decided, I am decided. And we're talking about making choices. And I told you last week, we all make so many choices. Last week I did the stupid thing. I got up at a certain time and I was going to try to see how many choices it was before I got up here on stage. And I stopped like at 8:11 or 8:13 because it was like 2,000 choices. We make so many choices, and we have choice fatigue, and we have where we don't make good choices often because we make so many choices. We do it in ourselves. We do it with our kids. We do our kid just to get kids out of our face. Yeah, whatever. Do whatever. Yeah, go, go, go. Yeah, do it. You know, whatever it is, we have this choice factory going off in our head that takes us so many places. And so what we're going to talk about today is before we make that choice, we must be decided. And that's the whole purpose of our lesson today, is to get you to pre-decide certain things. And last week we kind of had the opener for this lesson. And so now the next several weeks we're going to kind of flesh out what we're going to be ready for, what to make these choices for. Today our choice is the choice to be ready. The choice to be ready. I'm decided that I'm going to be ready. Ready to do what? Well, let's talk about that. I don't know about you, but I've never had anyone that ever was, you know, 12, 13 years old, and they had this dream in their mind, and they woke up every day and said, you know, my dream is when I get older is to be really overweight. I really, really want to be overweight when I grow up. That is something I really like to do. My 10-year plan is to go bankrupt, you know. Nobody ever says that. Nobody ever makes that choice. I don't know anybody has ever thought, you know, I would really like to get hooked on pornography or hooked on drugs. That's a goal of mine that I really want to grow up and to be. No, we have these aspirations to go be, you know, sports people and doctors and do these incredible things with our lives. None of us have these things in our mind that would take us down those places. But ultimately, many of us end up making those dumb choices. Nobody ever woke up and said, I'm going to be divorced 3 times. I'm going to get 3 divorces. Yes, I would really like to have 3 bad relationships. That'd be great. Let's do that. No, nobody ever does that. We don't plan on that. But it happens, and that's the eventuality. And so I want to review what we talked about last week before we get into this today. It's very important. And the whole premise of our lessons these next several weeks is going to be this. The quality of your decisions determines the quality of your life. If you make good choices, your life is going to be a little bit better. And I'm not here promising incredible life, but I'm promising you that if your choices are based on the Word of God, that God will help you make better choices. And you have to decide ahead of time before you get to that crossroads where you have to make that decision. Because if you wait to have an opinion about that, when you get to that crossroads, oftentimes you just take it and go, well, we'll go to this road here. And so we go off to this road and we go, oh, I guess I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have been there. I shouldn't have been in that way. And so we have to be very careful that our choices shape us. They make us. And so when we say I'm decided, what am I decided about and how am I going to do it? And so last week I introduced six things that I thought in me that were hard things. I talked about being selfish. I talked about that I'm often selfish. I talked that I'm often not ready for things, that I just kind of let life come at me. And when it comes at me, okay, I'll handle it. I'll do something with it. I'll do whatever it is. And so we said we want to come up with six things. And so the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about that. Today is week one, and then after that, we'll go on. But we talked about these six things that are going to come up on the thing here. So the next one says, I'm ready. That's what we're going to talk about today. Ready to do what? I am consistent. Boy, that's, I'm often not very consistent. And I find that most of us here, probably if you were honest, you would say you're not consistent too on a regular basis. I'm more devoted. I'm generous. I'm faithful. And I finish things that I start. How many of you are not good finishers? Boy, that's going to be a hard one for me, because there's many things that I have left undone in my life, and I want to be a better finisher. And I believe there's some of you that want to be that too today. So let's talk about what we're going to be deciding to do in these things. How many of you, let's just dive right into it. How many of you have ever had a temptation and it's come into your life and it comes at you and you go, oh, there's that feeling inside of you, and it's like, oh, that would be so nice to do that. That would be so great. Oh, if only, and it looks good and it looks healthy and it looks right, and then you do it and then you've regretted it because you found out when you stepped in it, it's like, oh, that wasn't good. It didn't work out. That was horrible. And you get there and you regret it immediately. And that's what I want to talk about today, is how do we stop that? How do we be ready for those kinds of things? Well, we all give in to temptation. I understand that, every one of us here. Chances are, in most cases, you give in to temptation on a daily basis. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 16:13. He said, next one, sorry, 1 Corinthians, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. Just leave that there for just a second, if you would. Paul said a mouthful when he said that. He said, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous. Why? Because you have an enemy who is attacking, and that's where we're going with this today. You have an enemy who is attacking, and we forget about the enemy who is attacking us. We forget about the enemy that doesn't want a strong family. We forget about the enemy that doesn't want a husband and a wife to love each other. We forget about the enemy that wants our kids to be brats and to grow up to be these people that are victims and just don't know anything about anything. And God, that's the enemy. He wants to destroy you and your family. And so Paul said, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous and strong. And so why was he saying that? Why is it important to do those things? Why is that so important? Because number one, the devil is coming for you, and he's coming for you, and he's coming for you every day in new ways and new things. And if you're here today and you say, well, the devil isn't coming for me, then I would say to you, he might already have you. You might already have you. And that's a hard thing to stand up here and say. You see, because our spiritual enemy has a mission, because he already knows he's going to hell forever. He knows it. He knows it in everything about it. He knows it in every structure in his makeup. He knows that for all eternity, he is going to be separated from God and from everything else. And so his mission is to take as many of us that are here and to create division and to create this divide between us and God ultimately. And then what it does is it creates this division amongst us. Paul said this. He said, I wrote to you, why? So that the devil, I think it's another one, 2 Corinthians 2:9 should come up if you'll go to the next one. The devil is, I wrote to you so that Satan will not outsmart us. So he won't outsmart us. For we are familiar with his evil schemes. Are you? Are you familiar with his evil schemes? I think many times they are so cunning and so underhanded and so toned down, we don't even realize that it's a scheme of the devil when it's coming at us. And so the face of the enemy becomes our spouse. The face of our enemy becomes somebody in the church that hurt you. The face of the enemy becomes that friend that didn't do what they were supposed to do. The face of the enemy becomes everything but what it's supposed to be. The face of the enemy is always the devil. It is always the devil. And he is studying you. He is studying your weaknesses. Every day he gets up and his thought is, how am I going to make you stumble? How am I going to make you just be more pathetic? How am I going to make you more apathetic? How am I going to take you and not have you care about nothing? And so we wake up, many of us, and we go, you know, I don't really care. You know, and we find ourselves in a little bit of a trap. How did I get here? How did I get here? Because we're not ready. I haven't decided that I'm going to be ready. So we're going to be ready because the devil is coming for us. That's the first thing. And the second thing is this. You're not as strong as you think you are. Many of us think you're far more spiritually stronger than you think you are. And you're not doing anything about it. It's like me right now. If I went into the weight room and I tried to lift 250 pounds, there is no way I could do it. I used to be able to do it. Nothing. It was nothing to go in and do it because I did it every day. And many of you, spiritually, you're weak. You have not. You're not doing any discipline every day. You're not praying. You're not reading the Bible. You have no course of action to take what you're supposed to be doing and loving on others and loving other people. And so when you go to do it, you go, oh, I can't do it. I don't want to do that. It's too hard. Because we're not doing that. It's not a discipline. It's not a part of our everyday lives. See, we've underestimated our spiritual strength. And many, and I'm talking to the church, many of you in here right now, you're a bunch of weenies. You're a bunch of weenies, a spiritual weenie that is just, can't milk this. First Corinthians says this, 1 Corinthians 10:12. So if you think you're standing firm. So if you think you're standing firm, do you think you're standing firm? Be careful that you don't fall. Because when you start thinking that you're standing firm, that's when you're going to go for a fall. Many of you in this place could say a big amen on that. Oh, I knew I was good in my marriage. Oh, I knew I was good with this. Oh, I knew I was good with this. And all of a sudden, got kicked out from underneath me. Here I am. Did it again. And that's why we end up in the place that we don't want to be. You ever ended up in the place you don't want to be with your life? Boy, I have. Because we make decisions that don't honor God. We make decisions that honor us because I think I should do it, because my friends say I should do it, because my friends say that should be, because that's what everybody else is doing. That's what all the influence people tell me I'm supposed to be doing. So I'll go with them. And so mentally we get fatigued from these choices and our power goes away. It's called willpower. Many of you have strong kicking willpower. I believe that with all my heart. But I also believe that your willpower goes away after a minute. It goes away because it is your willpower. It is not God's power. So we're fatigued. So we have to decide ahead of time. We have to decide, I'm going to be ready because I know that the devil is coming in to sweep my legs, to take me out, and not even, I won't even know it. And I end up flat on my butt and I'm going, how did I get here? Because the enemy knew you weren't ready. So I want to send you home with these three things. Hopefully it'll be kind of short unless I get too wound up. Let's see if I do. First one is this. Here's the first one I want to send you home with. This is big. If you want to write anything I say down, write these first three things down. Decide ahead of time that you're going to move the line. What are you talking about, Jeff? What do you mean move the line? Well, the best way I can understand this or describe this is I need some help. Michael, come here a second. Bob, come here a second. Yep, just one of you take this right here. If you don't remember nothing else today, remember I used caution tape in my lesson. You go, what the heck did he do that for? Yeah, go that way. Just keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Yeah, that's good. See if I can break this. Yeah, try to. Yeah, thanks. What would you do without a Michael? There it is. Okay, now come this way. Come this way. Let me have a little bit of it. If you would, right there. That's perfect. Just stay right there. When it comes to talking about moving the line, this is just symbolic stuff, okay? It's really important to understand what I mean when I say move the line. When we talk about, all of us have lines in our life. I'm not going to spend this much money. This is how much I'm going to spend. And what we do is we come up right as close as we can to the line and we get over. I've talked about this 1,000 times. We look over the line. Look right there. How close can I get to without falling over the line? So we have these caution strips in our life. We have these things in our life that are there, and they're there for a reason. We put them there. Most of us who are Christians, we put a caution tape kind of a situation in our life, and we say, this is all the bad stuff and this is all the good stuff and this is as far as I'm going to go. And my caution to each one of you today is this. My caution is this, is not to go and see how far you can. We talked about last week about the guy in the plane. You know, I'm a pilot and I'm gonna put a little, see how little bit of gas I can put in my plane and still get to my destination. None of us think like that because we know that would be stupid. That would be stupid. We want as much fuel as we possibly have. But when it comes to moving the line, what I'm talking about is you need to hold on to it. You need to take that line and you just need to keep moving it back here and you need to have it way farther than you ever thought was possible. Now there may be the line up there, but you want your line to be back here. You want it to have extra grace, extra ability to be able to say, okay, if I do go up the line, I still got a bunch of margin in between me and my bad choices. So I want to be sure that I don't skirt the line, that I don't come up the line, but I take the line and I move it towards God instead of moving it. Diana, come here. Take this real quick and move it that way. What a lot of us do, start walking towards the crowd there. That way, start walking. We move the line that way. And so we, look what else I can do. And it's all right. The world is my oyster. And it's, I can do this. And I can have sex before I'm married. Doesn't matter what everybody, I can go out with this person. I can do, and we move the line. Even though God said, here's the line. We often take the line and we move it the opposite way. You guys can just drop it. We'll get it later. Thank you so much. Give them a big hand. Yeah. Move the line. Move it towards God. Don't move it towards people and what people say and what people think. And many of you are going, but Jeff, that's so restrictive. Why does God have all these rules and why does he have all these things? I love what David said in Psalm 16. This is a beautiful verse. If you ever want a cool verse to just to think about, look at Psalm 16:6. The boundary lines, this is David, one of God's, after man's, God's own heart. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. The boundary lines have fallen, see, in pleasant places, more towards God. They've fallen in pleasant places. When they fall in pleasant places, not in ungodly places, but in pleasant places. So that's why I'm asking you to move the line. Move the line. Everybody, say this with me. Move the line. One more time.
Move the line.
Move the line. That's the first thing. Second thing that you can take home. We're going to count the cost. Count the cost before you decide to go across that line. Because when that feeling comes, and she's the one, when that feeling comes and that thing that you need to buy, that's exactly what it is you got to buy. When that feeling comes, you have to be able to fight the temptation. You have to be able to count the cost. You have to be able to say to yourself, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, I couldn't pay, if I pay $600, I may not be able to pay my rent this month. If we buy that $30,000 truck, we may not be able to do what we're supposed to do. We want to buy this, but we can't because we've got to count the cost. You've got to ask yourself, what is the worst case scenario if I do this? We have to be decided. I'm ready. I am decided. I already know. I'm thinking about it before I step over. And what's the worst thing that could happen? Because if the worst case scenario comes true and you answer it like this, well, someone could get pregnant. You know, well, if you don't want to be pregnant, that's not a good thing. We could lose our job. We could lose our loved one. We could find ourselves in a financial place that we never thought we could be. And what if we compromised in a relationship and all of a sudden the kids have to choose between this is mom and this is dad? Numbers 22 says it this way, 32:23. My first senior pastor used to say this to me all the time, and I'll be honest with you, I got tired of hearing him say this, but he said it all the time. He said, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you. He always used that last part, your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. Thank you, John, I love that. And I've remembered it to this day. But it's true. I didn't like it then, but it's true. It may not find you out right immediately, but it'll find you out someplace. It'll come and it'll hunt you down in your head. It'll hunt you down in your heart. And it will affect the way that you make choices and decisions from then on. And I've done this over 43 years of being married time after time in my life. What if I would do that? What if I'd make a decision that some girl comes up to me and would make a proposition to me, and what would I do? And time after time, I always thought about this. She may be pretty, and she may be incredible, but is she worth losing all the things I'm going to lose? Is it worth losing this person that has stood beside me for all those years? Is it worth? No. Is it worth losing the distrust of my kids and my community and my family? No. See, we have to recognize this morning, church, that we have a spiritual enemy who's going to attack, and he's going to attack, and he's going to attack, and he's going to keep attacking. And he comes at you through everything there is. The younger generation now, it's always all the social stuff that we do. And even some of us in the older generation, too. So we're gonna be on our guard, because when he does attack, we want to be ready. That's the first thing. And then we're going to move that line and not be stupid about that. And then one of my favorite things, and I want to speak about this just a little bit and then we'll be done, is that you have to have an escape plan. You got to have an escape plan. What happens if you get in a situation and you don't know what to do? You got to have an escape plan. The best example of that in all of Scripture, story you've heard probably 10,000 times is a story that all of you know. Beautiful, beautiful story. And the best example is this guy named Joseph. Joseph, the Bible says, was a good-looking guy, and he had trouble after trouble. His brothers didn't like him. They sold him into slavery. He gets put on this slave train, gets taken to a city there, and there he stays in jail, and he elevates himself. He's faithful to God. God puts him up and puts him in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's there, and he's in this house, this beautiful, young-looking guy, very well-built, very got everything together, and Potiphar's wife, you know, a little bit of a cougar probably recognizes him. Potiphar's, you know, recognizes him and goes, oh, he's a good-looking guy. And so she starts coming after him time after time after time. He doesn't give in. And he could have. And here's what I want to talk about. This is why it's so important. Joseph could have given in. Nobody would have known. His brothers, his family, nobody. Who even knew Joseph was there? Who did it matter to except Joseph? See, that's who it mattered to the most. It mattered to him the most. And so he said, I have decided and I have my line and I know where it is, and now I'm making a way to get out of this. And so it's very important to look at Joseph and to go, it would have been so easy for him to go, I'm disappointed in God. God didn't come through for me in the pit. He didn't get me out of the pit. I was in jail. He didn't get me out of jail. You know, he could have been so disappointed and go, oh, well, God didn't do it. I'll just go forward with it. Who cares? And we don't do it to hurt God, but we do it in spite of God. We know that God doesn't like it. We know that God doesn't approve of it, but we go ahead and we do it anyway. And that's why I've told child after child, after teen, after adult, all my life, don't use disappointments to justify your disobedience. Do not use disappointment with God to justify your disobedience. It is so easy. If you say you haven't done it, you're a liar. You are a liar. Because you think God's going to do something and he doesn't. And so you get disappointed with God and you go ahead and you move the line that way. And you not only step over it, you jump over it and you swim around in it and go, this is good. That's a problem, church. Well, my spouse isn't meeting my needs, Jeff. God let me get in this spot and he didn't get me out of it. Joseph decided, he had pre-decided, I am decided, I am going to do what I know is right to do. You know what happened? Well, she stopped, the angels sang, and he was never, ever, ever tempted again in his life. No. The same day, Potiphar's wife came in, and this time she gets aggressive. It's go time, Joe. And she takes his garb, and she grabs it and takes it off of him, and he lets her take it off of him. And the Bible says he runs away. See, it's just like the devil. We resist for a little bit. We resist a couple times. We resist. We put up, oh, don't. No, I'm not going to do that. No, that Amazon thing. I'm not going to buy that Amazon thing. And then we buy three Amazon things. And then I'm not going to buy that. And then we buy, you know, something else. And it's a pretty sickle sitting on the back porch. And another sickle and another, you know, whatever. Sorry, Stoney. Stoney's not even in here, but anyway, you just go on and on and on. We've got to pre-decide that we're going to have an escape. We got an escape plan. The devil's going to come after you day after day after day. He will not stop. He is relentless. He will not give up on you. The only time he gives up on you is when you give in and you say, I'm done. Why does he need to pound you anymore? Why does he need to come after you if you've already given in? Why does he need to pound if you don't believe in God? Why does he need to do any of that? He doesn't. He's got you. And he's going to move on to some other sucker. He's going to move on to somebody else. The Bible says he left the cloak in her hand. And he ran out of the house. Why did he do that? Listen, here's why. He did that because he knew it's better to have a good name than to have a good coat. And some of you are giving up a lot for your name. The name above all names that you're called to. You're a son of the Lord. You are a daughter of the King. Do not continue to give up what is rightfully his. It is not yours to give away, but it is my body. I can do what I want with it. No. You belong to the King. You are a daughter and a son of the King. You have to predetermine ahead of time. I am decided. So she grabs the coat and he flees. And the good news, the Bible says this. Scripture says it time and time again. When you are presented with these things, God always provides a way out. Doesn't mean we take it, but he always provides a way out. There's so important. There's no temptation that the devil will bring your way, which God hasn't given you escape. There is no financial temptation. There is no temptation at all that God won't provide you a way out. The whole point, if you haven't got it by now, of my lesson today is this. You've got to decide ahead of time what your line is. I can't decide for you, but you better decide, and you and God need to make that line. This is the line that I'm going to go, and I'm going to move it in his direction to give me a little bit of extra grace. So the question that we start as we back out of this today is this. Where you're vulnerable, how does God... I'm going to start again. That question is like garbled in my head. When you're vulnerable, and you know what I mean by vulnerable, when you're tired, you're grumpy, you're grouchy, you're overworked, which most of us are most of the time, and your spiritual enemy attacks you, what area does he come at you? Does he come at you in your pride? Does he come at you that you have a tendency to lie a little bit and you just say things that you never should say? It just comes out and you go, oh, it just popped. I don't know why I said that, but I said it. And you go, oh, I can't take it back because I said it. And see, the devil comes at us like these things. And we say and we do things that we never, ever should do. Do you find yourself here this morning taking God for granted? Do you find yourself that one day you've just woke up and you're lukewarm and you're like, God, you know, he's going to love me anyway. And you're not living for him and you're not doing nothing. And used to, you're like, it was exciting to do stuff for him and to know that you were in the house of the Lord. Now it's like, I got to go to church. And now it's like, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to watch it online. And now I'm not even going to watch it online. Not going to read the Bible. Don't ask me to do that. That's too much. Don't ask me to pray. That's too much. Do you find yourself compromising around your friends? You're one person with people that know God, and you're another person with people who don't know God. And so what we're going to do, church, is we're going to be on guard. We're going to be watching. We're going to be praying. We're going to not be strong because we're not strong, but we're going to be decided, and we're going to move the line, and we're going to have an escape plan. We're going to get all those things ready to go, and I'm going to make sure I know that if I do whatever it is that I'm not supposed to do. I've counted the cost, and I know what it costs. And so I want today to say this. Somewhere in the future, someday, maybe this week, when you're tired, when you're hungry, when you're overwhelmed, when you're emotional, when you're depressed, and you're more vulnerable, your decisions are going to be coming at you, and you're going to be tempted. And you can be ready. You don't have to give in. You don't have to give in to what the devil is pitching to you. Church, the quality of our lives is a reflection of the quality of the choices that you make. And the first choice that God is calling us to is to be ready to realize that we have an enemy. That we have an enemy. And so I'm going to ask you today to make a choice as the band comes. What are you going to do with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? Who does Jesus claim to be? The Bible says he claims to be the one is the way, the truth, and the life. He claims that his Father sent him. He claims that he's not here for those that are already right. He's here for the sick. Somebody here is a little bit sick. Somebody here has some issues today. And Jesus wants to meet you. Jesus wants to heal you. When you call on his name, God hears the cries of your heart. God knows the things that are going through your head. God knows the troubles that you're going through in your household. He knows. And so I say this as kindly and as lovingly as I can. I know in a crowd this size, there are some people here who are not walking with Jesus. I don't mean first timers. I mean people who signed up and said, I'm his. He's mine. And I want you to know that Jesus wants you to come home today. He wants you to stop faking it. He wants you to stop being who you've been. He wants you to stop just mailing it in your spiritual life. Not because of him, not because he's getting anything out of it, because he knows that when you do that, that you're going to be the person that he made you to be. He made you to be a very, very special person. So you do it one choice at a time. And the choice that some of you today have has got to be, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to decide not to follow him again. To follow him again, because I haven't been. I've been following my own course. I've been following my own prescription. And I would say to you, for some of you, how's that working out? So during our ministry time today, it's a two-pronged thought. If you're here today and you're following Jesus, pray for somebody who's not. If you're here today and you want to follow him more completely, ask him. If you're here today and you've never, ever, ever made that decision, start today. We have some folks in the back that would be glad to pray with you. If you want to, in your seat, you want to make that choice of that decision, you can do that. If you want to come to our altar, you're welcome to do that. Let's stand up right now, if you would, with me. And let's sing this song, I Have Decided. Have you? Are you? Will you?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
no turning back. Though none go with me, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning.
No turning back.
No turning back. No turning back.
One more time.
No turning back. No turning.
So today, our lesson is three things. Move the line towards Jesus. Move your line so you're not always going across it. Count the cost. Blow it up. What's going to happen if I do this? And three, have an escape plan. What's your escape plan? Joseph had one. I'm going to run. That should be yours too. Whatever your temptation, whatever your area is, run. Run away. Don't go as close as you can. Run away from it. Move your line. Move your line. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray today that you'll help us to get a glimpse of how you want us to be more like Joseph. And God, we don't want to be acting out of disappointment every day. Disappointment that in people, disappointment in you. And then our disappointment leads us to more bad choices and more bad choices. So God, I just pray today that you'll help us set our feet firmly on who you are and what you are. We love you and we praise your name. Amen. I pray that you have a great fair week. I want to recognize Charlie. Charlie said that they're having a court date this Wednesday, and so she would like prayer for that. It's a big day in their family's life, and so be praying for Charlie and Michael and their kids, because it could really shape the direction that they're going. Anybody else have others before we just go to our TV? Anything? Here it is.